This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
As Europe weighs radical measures to curb soaring energy prices, Britain waits with bated breath to see how its next leader handles the crisis. Live from Westminster in London, this is a special edition of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. A very good morning to you. European natural gas prices have surged as much as 20% today after Russia indefinitely suspended flows through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline late Friday. And as draft documents show, European Union officials meeting this week are considering temporary price caps, reduced demand, and support for parts of the energy market. How the UK reacts to soaring prices is up to the next prime minister here, who will either be former Finance Minister Rishi Sunak or Foreign Secretary Liz Truss. In just a couple of hours here, just across the road, they will announce who takes over from Boris Johnson, who resigned back in July. Neither candidate has outlined a specific plan, but here's what they have said about their priorities.
Inflation is the number one priority facing our country. It will be my number one priority. I've been saying higher and
higher. So I don't think the responsible thing to do right now is launch into some unfunded spree of borrowing and more debt. That will just make inflation worse.
It's very, very important that we keep taxes low. And we also have a temporary moratorium on the green energy levy, which will immediately cut people's fuel bills.
This is an energy supply problem, and we need to deal with the root cause. We need to make sure we're using our reserves in the North Sea. We need to make sure we're fracking.
Well, there's a lot to get into this morning, so we're doing things a little bit differently today. I'm joined live by Shanti Kellerman. She's Chief Investment Officer at M&G Wealth Investments, and Jill Rutter, a Senior Fellow at the Institute for Government Think Tank. Good morning to you both. First to you, Jill. Polls indicate that Liz Truss will take over as PM. What tools does she have at her disposal at the moment to address this energy crisis in the UK?
She's quite boxed in, but she can do it by, you know, what she initially was going to do, take off some taxes on energy. That's not going to cut it, though. So then the question is, does she freeze prices? Does she freeze them for everybody? And what other support does she give, possibly through giving what she termed handouts, upping benefit payments or whatever? Or does she do something more radical, like's been suggested by the Labour Party, of just freezing energy prices? And then the question is, who pays? Ultimately, it'll be taxpayers or consumers, but is it done through the public finances or is it done through the businesses?
And on that point, we've been hearing from people across this country, like cheese shop owner Maz Murphy, about the struggle to pay their bills.
I've certainly seen my average customer spend decrease, and also my footfall has decreased. My costs have increased massively. When I first opened in October 2020, my monthly electric bill was about £300. And in 10 days, my electric bill will be £2,500. In all honesty, I think it's unsustainable for most small businesses. What we really need is for government to step in.
Now, Jill, you mentioned tax cuts there, but is there a risk that that could be even more inflationary?
There is a risk, I think, that a generalised tax cut, the sort of thing Liz Truss has said she wanted to do, could be inflationary if it adds to demand. We've got a supply-constrained economy at the moment, so pumping in more demand may not be the answer. But so far, we haven't heard anything. We haven't done anything to support businesses through that. So we may be looking at something like suspending business rates for those sorts of small businesses, like the one you were just talking to.
And I want to bring in Shanti here as we check the numbers now, because the pound is at a two-decade low against the U.S. dollar. European stock benchmarks are down in the 1% to 2% range this morning. Investors clearly worried about this energy crunch. Will action from governments really calm these nerves?
I think it's unlikely because the problem they have is the more and more aid packages they announce, the more and more borrowing that means. And then they're going out and asking investors to fund more. The cost to service the debt is already going up quite a bit, gone from about 1.5% of national income up to north of 3%. So the concern is we could probably borrow and fund it for a bit. But if this carries on for a few years, are you continuously borrowing more? Then you need more income to pay for it. And all that's pushing sterling down. So in some ways, the support package can also do some damage.
Well, as we get the name of the next prime minister here in the UK today, there's growing concern about how patient people will be in the face of financial hardship. And we've seen strike action last several weeks across the UK. Jill, do you think there is a rising risk of social unrest now?
Yes, particularly if whatever is done to support people with energy bills is deemed to be inadequate. So a lot of people really fear that they can't get through the winter. We've had talks about people refusing to pay their energy bills. That has lots of associated problems. And at the moment, the government doesn't seem to have any solutions beyond spending more public money, but it's unwilling to do that to the mass outbreak of strikes.
And Chanty, one final one to you. Liz Truss has said that it's the Bank of England's job to keep down inflation. Do all these factors, though, that we're seeing the pressures on the economy make that job even harder?
Of course. I think there is stuff they can do with raising rates because that it'll increase the cost of capital. It should reduce demand a bit, which you think should ease some of those pressures. What they can't control is energy prices. And my worry is that there's a limited amount of energy in Europe. All these governments keep subsidizing it. We just keep bidding up the cost and no one actually gets what they need in the end.
And she's been very critical of the Bank of England, saying she'll in fact change the mandate if she's in office.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit less worried than that. Central banks often have their mandates reviewed. You know, in countries like Canada, it happens on a regular basis. So I think we'll work through that. But you need, in times like this, you need central bank and government working together.
Chanty, Jill, thank you so much for your thoughts on all of this morning. Stay with us here on Marketplace for the very latest on this Prime Minister announcement. In the meantime, a big thank you, too, to all of our listeners here who tune in to us each and every morning. Today marks 5 years that we've been on the air as the Global Edition. And as you know by now, we love to take you right to the heart of all of the stories we cover, like some of these. Over the past year. This is the sound of resilience echoing through the town of Bad Neuenahr Ahrweiler in western Germany. It hugs the banks of the Ahr River, which this summer burst during catastrophic floods. Many describe the devastation as the worst in 100 years.
Also, dass hier alles wirklich von Grund auf erneuert werden muss, das ist ja jetzt hier Rohbauzustand.
Everything's got to be replaced from top to bottom. Heating, electricity, doors, windows, my stock. I've only got 2 tables and a mannequin left. That's it.
Martina Kleino owns a women's clothing store and accessory shop called Clara. All that's left of it now, though, is the facade. In this, the hardest hit flood region in Germany, officials said at least 130 people died. Hundreds more were injured, and some are still missing. Many blame, in part, lack of advance warning, and German prosecutors have launched an investigation into whether residents were properly made aware of the risks and dangers of the storm. Live from Athens, Greece, I'm Victoria Craig. In just a few hours, the ECB will raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years. While the Greek government has made reforms since its catastrophic debt crisis in the early 2010s, the shadow of the pain it caused still looms large. Maralina Giorgansi was one of thousands who participated in protests during those years. She takes us back to Syntagma Square in front of Parliament and describes what compelled her to start speaking out.
I think it was like just putting on fire something already ready to be burned. I think we were feeling like we don't have a strong voice. It's just that we are part of a game.
At this corner supermarket in the Kadıköy neighborhood of Istanbul, prices change almost daily. Ali, the shop assistant, says the process of changing all the stickers could take all day. But he and his colleagues have a system down. They can get everything changed over in just 1 hour. Cheddar cheese, he says, is up 52% in a week. Sugar, up 49%. Prices have soared so much that he and his colleagues can't afford to buy some of the things in this store. You're in London. We're moments away from the kickoff to 4 days of celebrations called the Platinum Jubilee, which marks an historic milestone for the nation's longest ever reigning monarch.
Oh, Victoria, lovely to see you.
Nice.
Hello.
The chocolate crown was actually the first chocolate that Madame Charbonnel and Mrs. Walker made.
Spokeswoman Jo Humphreys explains the company has been making chocolate this way since 1875, and for the past 50 years, it's been supplying its cocoa confections to Queen Elizabeth herself. So a taste there of the places that we've taken you over the past 5 years. A big news day here, and a big thank you again to all of you who listened to us over a morning cup of coffee. With senior producers Stephen Ryan and Nisha Patel, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.